Now, I have a special word that God gave me that I'm going to share at the end. If I forget, remind me while we're still recording. Just say, that word, we want that message. Right? Pull me in. All right, my babies. Good to see you. Matthew 25 again. God spoke to me again about it, but from a different perspective. And I said, okay. I'm not doing the versions this time. Wait a minute. Did I say the wrong one? Oh, yeah, I'm just in the wrong book. That's why that one worked. All right. Title of today's message is Be Ready. Right in. The 10 virgin story, which we did not too long ago, was about preparation. It was about us going out to meet the Master, the Savior, the blessings, the word, the acknowledgement, the whatever, and not being ready. And him delaying his response or his showing up. And then you run out of oil, which represents prayer, which represents anointing, which represents covering. And you ran out of oil. And while you were running back to try to collect your oil, he showed up. And you start trying to ask the people that was there to give some oil to you. And they said, no, you got to go get your own oil. And by the time you came back with your oil, the door is shut. Thought about that as God began to speak to me about recent events of my own life. And one of the things that came up was, you know, I listen to Lindsay all the time talking about being a prepper. She likes to make sure she has, you know, extra this in her car and extra that. She drives around with blankets and pillows and canteens and, you know. And I'm not saying that to make fun of you, Lindsay, if you're watching. I'm saying that's an admirable thing. She's ready. She gets stuck outside. She even got a little portable generator now. And she's ready. Just that takes sunlight and turns it into battery recharging for your phones and all. Just respect, right? Probably cans of beans and can openers and whatever and a little hot plate. Yeah, I'm messing with you now. Okay? But here's the thing. That is something that God has taught me without me even realizing it in the spirit a long time ago. I'll tap you on your shoulder and I will tell you things. But here's the problem. He taps you on your shoulder. This message right here is going to be an eye-opener for you. Everybody here and everybody listening, so be ye prepared. Be ready for this message. Be ready. Amen. A lot of us don't move into situation and desperation demands it. That's a person never ready. That's a person who goes running and fishing and grabbing and pulling at everything he can or she can at the last moment, hoping that they find relief or God's grace is enough to pull them through. But you're not ready. You're the foolish virgin. And because of God's grace, you're not thrown out, but you're not ready. And so comes from that the religion of, well, God knew what I needed to go through to help me better than you get. Right? No. When God taps you, are you listening to me? Eyes up, Mike. Stay with your brother. I know. Hold it. Because you can always listen back to this and do that. But right now, and I want full energy. Full energy. Hear my heart. When God taps you and says, be ready or prep for such and such, it's so silent and so gentle that we don't take it as urgent. Because we're used to responding in urgency. Somebody yell, be ready.
Be ready.
When the devil comes at you, he's yelling. So you tend to think that his fear is more powerful than God's tap. Am I lying? When he threatens you with a loud voice. He jumps in your face like the Wizard of Oz. I am the Great Oz. He's just a little guy behind the curtain playing with wires. But he comes at you like that. So we have a tendency to ignore the still small voice of God. With that said, I want us to be in tune to God's gentleness. God doesn't demand you be ready with a loud voice, but he does ask you to prep. Scripture says, I don't know where it is, he says, Before a man builds a house, he must first go out and count the cost before he begins, lest he begins to build it and then he can't finish it and he looks like a fool. That's the same story with the prep for the foolish versus the wise. They came with their lamp, but they came with an extra can of oil. I respect Lindsay and all her prepping. I get it. Spiritually, it's the same thing. What little brother just stood up here and said, when God calls on you, what do you have? What was a year and a half ago, right? God said to me, it's your time. All you agreed, hallelujah. Shamalama ding dong. Shamalama moo moo. Yes, we're all together. I said, get ready. Yes. Oh, I felt the chill when you said that. Okay. And then all of a sudden, as I was getting ready, a whirlwind broke loose in my life. In every conceivable area, stuff you don't even know about. From my marriage down. And through every step of that, uncomfortable, but ready. Because he said, it's your time. Get ready for this move. I didn't know what came with the move. I didn't know what opposition came with the move. I didn't know what discomfort came with the move. But I knew that I needed to be ready for the move. So I started getting ready in ways that you don't even know. God told me, start stacking your money. I started stacking my money. I didn't know what I was stacking for, but I knew I was stacking. And I kept stacking to the tune of close to 40 grand. I started stacking. And know for what? I just knew I should. He said, do it. Stop buying all those action figures and shelves and lights and stuff to decorate your West Wing. Start saving your money. Get ready. Your allowance. Put it on the side. You get some extra money. Stash it away. Stop spending. Stop spending. Sow seed wisely. Stop just giving money to people. Oh, you need $1,000? Sure. You need $3,000? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, there you go. He said, stop that. Need you to be ready. For what? He may not tell you. And he may delay. He may tell you, but he may delay in his appearance. Now, in Matthew 25, after the story of the virgins, I want to take us on a journey. Because reading the story of the 10 virgins and stopping tells such a story that you think that's the story. But it's not. And here's why I'm saying that. Everything I taught you about it was absolutely correct. But here's what I realize. This whole chapter 25 is about preparation. They're not separate little stories and anecdotes. If you read after the 10 virgin story, he goes right into the parable of the bag of gold. And again, so he's still having the same conversation, correct? He says, but they replied, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, right? I'm sorry, so you know where I am. Matthew 25, right now we have verse 12. Jesus is finishing up the story of the 10 virgins, and starting at verse 11, he says, later the others came, meaning the foolish virgin. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Why? Because you weren't prepared. Therefore, keep watch. This is Jesus talking. Therefore, keep watch. Is that another way to say be ready? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day of or the hour. He says, you don't know when the blessing going to come. You don't know when the attack going to come. You don't know when the delay going to come. You don't know when the enemy going to open up the gates and throw his mess out on you. But if you're ready, it doesn't matter. The fact that the Lord delayed and responded did not affect the wise virgins. Why? Because they were ready. Say it again.
They were ready.
Then he goes on again. It says, and again. So he's still talking. He didn't say amen and walk away. He wants to drive this point in strong. And again, it will be like a young man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, we're going to go through this whole story, but I want you to understand something, and I want you to understand something real good. The story of the virgins in this story and the story after that, because there's another one. He goes through three whole parables to make this one point. Be ready. But here's the point he chooses to make in this one. The first one, it was be spiritually ready. See, your pastor's deep. Let me just tell you that. All right? The first story he's talking about, they didn't have their oil. They weren't ready. They weren't ready for his return, so he couldn't do nothing with them. He threw them out. But this story now, he's saying, now I want you to entrust to you spirituality for you to be ready there, but now I'm going to talk about wealth. He called them together to entrust his wealth. So now we're going from spiritual to financial. I want to entrust my wealth to you. I already entrusted my Holy Spirit to you. Are you preparing that? Now I'm going to entrust wealth. And he's in the same conversation. He says, again, it will be like a young man who's going on a journey and he calls a servant to them to entrust his wealth. To one of them, he gave five bags. To another, he gave two bags. And another one, he gave one. And to each, according to his ability. You know, the Lord don't bless me like he blessed you, Pastor. Right, because it's according to my ability. You don't have it. I prepared for my ability. I developed my ability when I was gathering up the oil in the first pot. Oh, you don't want to hear what I'm trying to say today. So that he could say to me, I want to entrust you with this. I want to entrust you with this. So, still not a bad thing. He gave each of them according to what he felt they can handle. He's still fair. Be good with what you got. Right? That's how you get more. Say you faithful with little, he'll trust you with more, right? So let's be faithful with that. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag. Each according to his ability. And he left. Went on his journey. He left. All of these statements picked apart spiritually by your pastor today, going to take on a whole new meaning. Watch this. You listening? God entrusts you with people. He entrusts you with their heart. He entrusts you with their spirit. He entrusts you with finance. He entrusts you with situations. He entrusts you with jobs. He trusts you with positions. He trusts you with whatever he entrusts you with right now. Just look around your life and see what he's entrusted to you and how you're treating it. And then he leaves. No, this is important. Because I never saw this. But I understood it, but I never saw it. And once I say it to you, you're going to go, you know that's true. You know God never stands over your shoulder and micromanages you. See? He said, here you go. I entrust you with wealth. You can go to strip club every night. You can go spend all your money on drugs. You can do whatever you want. I gave it to you. There you go. He don't make your debit card decline when you try to get out money for the wrong reason. Nothing. I trusted it to you. The word is trusted. I trusted it to you. According to your ability, I entrusted it to you. I gave you that situation. I gave you that relation. I gave you that position. I gave you the ear of that boss. I gave you the opportunity. I gave you that talent. I entrusted it to you. Do what you want with it. I'll be back. That's the part that I think we sleep on. That I'll be back. I'm coming back to see what you did with what I gave you, with who I gave you, with while I gave it to you. I told you it's going to get real up in here. He's coming back. Same thing, the virgins, right? He may not come right then, but now this time he came, he gave you the gifts. The ones who didn't have, he threw them out. Okay, so now you're here. Come on in the party. Now you're in the party. Okay, I'm going to entrust some stuff to you, my wealth. And then I'm going to leave. According to your ability. So don't stop being a hater and looking at somebody have something you don't have. God gave it to them according to their ability. Pray that God increases your ability so that he can trust you with more. And still, it's a trust. It's not a give. I didn't mean to bring this up this early, but it hit me, so I got to say it. What God gives you and everything God gives you is a trust. He's coming back to check on what you do with it. It's a trust. Well, God blessed me with my car. Hallelujah. I was believing for this car, and he blessed me with the car. No, he trusted you with it. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to treat it? You're going to take care of it? You're going to neglect it? You follow what I'm saying? How are you going to treat it? I remember when God blessed me with my first car, I was so happy. I was driving the way I shouldn't drive, running into things. I got in an accident in the first 2 weeks. And after a while, God was like, so this is what you're doing, what I give you, huh? This is how you're treating it, huh? Wow. This is yours now. You can do what you want with your car, huh? Okay. Each according to his ability. And he went on the journey. The men who had received 5 bags of gold went, what's the word there? When? That's would immediately be a right word?
Yes.
He said the men who received 5 bags of gold immediately went to deposit it amongst the money changers. Immediately, he put it to, somebody say immediately.
Immediately.
How long does it take you to move on what God tell you to do? How long are you taking to move on the thing that God trusted you with? How long does it take you to take a full hold and grip on what God entrusted you with? How long does it take? And I'm going to do it. No, I know. I'm going to praise God in God's time. And you just got to be patient because you never know what the Lord's going to do. He said, immediately. Thank you, baby. Immediately he grabbed a hold of it and he said, how can I make this prosper? Say to somebody, wake up. He just shook me with this. He said, I've given you things. And the things that you've been immediately responsive to are the things I moved quickly on. And the things that you drag your feet on, you're still believing for. And claiming. And I receive it. Ha! And getting 4 or 5 witnesses and looking for somebody to come prophesy. It's going to come. Oh, it's in the Lord's time. But what have you done? Exactly what you stood up here and said today, little bro. What you put in there? You can't withdraw from the bank what you didn't deposit. Immediately. They seized it when God said, start stashing. I said, well, okay, I want to buy a few more shelves and a few more figures. And I want to build a few, get some more equipment, a little bit more. Lord, I'm going to start saving next year. See, I knew that was going to hit home because I know some people sitting here right now. God told you to start putting the money away. Yeah, but I want to get this outfit, but I want to be in this person's wedding. But you know, I did it. Listen, pull some out the closet you already got. He said... You don't need to be cute for a day. It ain't your wedding. Wear something you got. If you got too big, lose some weight. Just saying. Immediately, God says, save some money. Start saving it. Just curiosity. Anybody in this room that God been telling you, you need to start saving your money? Just curious. Well, there's one. Come on, thank you for the honest people. Honestly, thank you, honest people. Amen. We don't want you falling out on the floor like out of the Sapphira. Let's just. Okay. Have you been diligent to do it? I'm getting the kind of. Depending on your diligence, is going to be when he comes back what you have to show. Got it? This ain't a punishment word. This is a wake up word. Lately, if you listen to me, I've been giving these real strong, but wake up words. He immediately went and took his bag at once, putting his money to work and gained 5 more bags. God didn't even demand that he have 100 more bags. Just 5 more. It's nice. Also, the one with 2 bags gained 2 more bags. That's a 100% increase. That's fair enough. But the man who received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Listen to this next sentence. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. Theme, diversions, and the money guy, the wealth loan entrusted guys. After a while, when you wasn't expecting, longer than they thought, here we go again. After a long time, why? Why is he taking so long? What's this long thing all about? I look good in that camera right there. Now, I don't know, is it the black? What is it about this taking so long thing? Huh? Getting you ready is one. I take that. What else we got? Huh? Stay ready. Keep on going. What else we got? Patience. No, you're absolutely right. Patience. All of these are correct. What else we got? Why is he delaying like this? Why is the Lord delaying like this? Boom! Everybody can believe when they first hear the word. Everybody gets excited when it first gets prophesied over and you fall out on the floor and kick and spin and roll around and whatever and wig fall off and whatever. All of that, right? But time, the marathon, shows what you really believe. Not the sprint. The marathon shows what you believe. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I'm still confessing it. I'm still believing it. I'm still keeping the money. Now, I'm going to take this money and just pay my bills. Shoot, I've been waiting this long for God. Forget that. I'm just going to do this. Right? He's saying, and it ain't just about money, but in this case, this is a money story. The third guy hid his because obviously he thought he got less than them in my thinking. So he obviously didn't value his gifts or abilities like the other two did. He didn't think there was going to be a return. Obviously, the others did. He got some on his 5. He got some on his 2. Why can't you get 2 for 1? Because he gave it to them according to what he knew they would do. He gave it to him according. I know you ain't going to do nothing anyway, but just to be fair, because I'm a fair God, I'm going to give it to you, but I know you ain't going to really do nothing with it. It says according to their abilities. So that means he knew that guy had the ability to hide it in the ground. Say, God, I want you to trust me more.
Help me
be trustworthy. You can give him praise for that. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts. I want you to know he always returns to settle. Saints, look at me. He always returns to settle. It might take longer than you think, but he always returns to settle. Always. Show me what you did with what I gave you. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags, and I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Somebody say good and faithful. Amen. What does that mean? Yeah, we want to get deep about it, but let me just make it real simple. He said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithful means full of faith. Faithful. Faithful. Full of faith. In all the time you had to wait, in all the time you had to hold on to these bags and not spend them and not go tricking with them or none of that, you sat with them and you waited. Faithful. He obviously believed that the return on him, his obedience, was going to work, and he stood his ground. That's why I said, why does he take so long? You said it, to see where your faith is. So when he came back, what did he acknowledge? That he was full of faith.
Amen.
Faithful. I don't know about you. I don't want to be faith somewhat, or faith kind of, or half faith. I want to be full of faith from the top to the bottom, pouring over my head. My full of faith servant. Well done, my full of faith servant. Love that. And it's got an explanation point, so he yelled it. Well done. You have been full of faith with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. You don't have this conversation? That's why God ain't putting you in charge of many things, because you're not full of faith in the few. It's not to chew you out. This is a wake up. Then he says this. Ready? Come and share your master's happiness. That scripture jumped out and knocked me over. Because we usually focus the story on, he gave him 5. He gave him 5. He came with 5 more. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I will put you in charge of more things. But then he makes this point. You listening? Listen real close to what I'm about to say. I've missed this, and I didn't claim it, but I do now, and I have been since God began to show me this. And after last night, really, really, really saw it. He gave me 10,000. I'm faithful with that, and gave him 20. And he said, now I'm going to give you more to be responsible over. So next time I might get 50 bags. But that wasn't the thing. The thing was, he said, now come and enjoy your master's happiness. Your happiness, I know what God's happiness must be like. You just said, I can share in that. Oh, wait. See, I know you didn't catch that. Wait a minute. So he said, because you were faithful with the little bit I gave you, not only am I going to give you more, I'm now inviting you into my happiness. Well, let's stop. So it's banquet, oil, my spirit, trusted you to be ready. You were ready. I brought you in. Now you're in the party. Everybody's partying. Now I'm going to pick a few of you and see who I can trust some wealth to. We already trusted you to bring you into the kingdom. You accepted the Lord. We got you in. Some of you are full of the Spirit. Some of you are not. Some of you are kind of walking the Spirit. Some are kind of not. Whatever. That's between you and God. And if you left out or in, that's all. That's done. Most of us here now, we're all in. Now I want to try to entrust you with some wealth. And I'm going to give it to you according to your ability. And you were good with what I gave you. Now I'm bringing you up another level. You come and hang out with me in my throne room. You come and run the kingdom with me. You get to ride in the chariot beside me. I know I can trust you to give you this, to give you that, to say, here's what I want from you and here's what I need from you. And I want you to come up to me in another level right now. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
But I don't have a lot. He said, be faithful with the one. Dig it out the hole of the ground and put it to use before he get back. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrust me with two bags and see how I've gained two more. The master replied again, the same exact words, be it two or five. Or one. What did he say? Well done, my good, faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge with many. He didn't say, now I'll let you get five. He promoted each of them the same. And said, come and enjoy your master's happiness. Exactly the same. I don't know if you're catching this. I don't know if you're catching this. But maybe I'm going to toss this to you. And maybe you can catch this. Remember when Jesus gave the story about he had his people and his servant. He went out and got put some laborers to work in the beginning of the day. Then he went out a little bit later in the day. And he pulled some more people in. At the end of the day, he pulled some more people in. And at the end of the day, what did he do? Paid everybody exactly the same. So whether you have 50 gifts or two gifts, or five bags, or one bag. If Mr. One Bag had done what he was supposed to do, he would have been invited to the same table. Not a smaller table, not a lesser table. He would put him in charge of everything just like he did everybody else, and he would have invited him into his happiness. It don't make a difference if you got 50 bags or you got a half a bag. If you're faithful with that bag, he trusts you and he finds that you're full of faith, he will give you the opportunity to come and hang out with him. Then the punk who received one bag came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. Question. Was this N-word lying right off the top? Because the proof of what he already saw, he was obviously not a hard man. So that means he has some opinion of him that he formulated. Well, you know, God got to let you go through things sometime, and God let the sickness get on me to teach me something. You know how God could be. You can't, you know, you don't know what the Lord would do. You know, you can't question God. But he had some beliefs that didn't line up with the master's personality. And based on those beliefs, I hope you're listening to me. Based on those religious or personal beliefs, he painted a picture of the master that limited the master to how he could provide for him. You didn't catch that. Is the master generous? Was the master taking good care of everybody he could trust? So where did this guy get this philosophy that he came with? What church was he going to? He wasn't going to JCMI. Where was he going? Where was he going to get his word? That he decided that we're talking about the same God. We're talking about the same master. But two people experienced coming to my happiness, and one says, well, I know you're hard and cold, and you don't like blessing people anyway. I've been to churches like that. Have you? They say the Lord is good, and then in the next five sentences, they say stuff like this dude. God don't want you to have wealth, and God don't want you blessing. You know, God sometimes wants you sick, because that's obviously where he went. Let me say this to you. Your perspective, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to switch it a little bit. He told me to change it a little bit. Your access to God's abundant or lack depends on the picture of him you've decided to receive. And everything in your life right now to this very day is the manifestation of that perspective. Some of you came here not expecting what you even get now. And you've learned here about God's generosity and you've accepted some of it. And you made sure you got enough oil to be ready for that. But some of you still serve a struggling God, a God that wants you to go through and go hard. No, he gave you something, but his delay in coming back is where you failing. Ooh, it got quiet on that one. I heard a couple of mumbling. I don't even know if that's amen. I just heard. One bad came back and said, I knew you were a hard man. Harvesting where you have not sown. That's what church people say. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. You never know what the Lord will do. Sometime he'll take something from you. First of all, God's not a thief. Let me just put this out there for the record. And God don't take nothing from nobody that he didn't give. He's not a crook. Second of all, and just keep this on the record, everything that he gives you, are you listening to me close, is entrusted. It's not yours. When he comes back, what does he find? Whew. You're a hard man. Hopson, where you have not sown. Okay, clearly he had sown because he gave you the bag of gold. So he did sow. So how's he Hopson where he didn't sow when he gave you the bag of gold? You see how stupid his philosophy is? You see how dumb and idiotic his philosophy is? You see how his belief system, wherever he got it from, is totally wrong, and he has to suffer consequences for the fact that he chose not to find the truth. How is he harvesting where he haven't sown and he gave you a bag of gold? Gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. Help me, lead Jesus. If you knew that's how he was, why would you be afraid? Then you should have done the right thing. If you know he wanted to harvest where he didn't sow, then doggone it, you should have made sure you had something for him to harvest when he came back. So his justification was, so I was afraid. And I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. Here, exactly what you gave me, I'm giving you that back. Now I need you to understand something before I go into his response, the master's response. He said, in his response, I didn't think you would do me right. I didn't think you would take care of me anyway, which the truth is sitting right in front of his face right now, because he called the guy with five, and then he called the guy with two, and he's got to be watching this whole transaction. And then he still came up and said, well, I thought you was a hard man. What he should have said was, whoa, I thought you was a hard man, and I obviously had this all wrong, because seeing how you just treated the brothers here, can I have another chance to play? No, he stuck to his script. He doubled down. He held his position. He said, no, you're a hard man, and you're cold, and you're cruel. And after watching what he just saw, he still wasn't willing to bend and say, maybe I made a mistake here. He's the one who's the hard man. Exactly, Mike. He's judging the master according to who he is. According to who he is, you're a hard man. How are you going to sit there and watch him bless these two men and tell him he's a hard man? Unless he kept them in the room and they didn't get to see how blessed they were. I don't know, but either way, his perspective is wrong. So, here's he go. He comes to him, he says, so I hid your gold in the ground, so here is what belongs to you. Now, here's what you need to understand. That statement there bothered me. Bothered me. So here it is. Well, a lot of this bothered me, obviously. But here's what bothered me about that statement. How many church people say, maybe some of us, well, you know, it ain't mine, it's the Lord anyway. I just give it back to him. And think they're saying something spiritual. They got gifts to sing, they got gifts to dance, they got gifts to do business, they got gifts to whatever. And well, not, I just, you know, what are you going to do with your gift? I'm just leaving it in the Lord's hands, you know, which is the Lord can do with it whatever he wants. That's the same thing he's saying. I'm giving it right back to you the way you gave it to me. I'm going to do nothing with it. I'm not going to develop it. I'm not going to fine tune it. I'm not going to stretch it. I'm not going to take it and put it amongst the changes and try to see if I ain't going to take some classes to see if I can get better. Oh, you don't want to have this conversation with me. I'm not going to figure out how I can take what you gave me and stretch it as far as I can stretch it. So when you come back after a long time and say what you got, I can say, well, I studied this. I took this. I learned how to mix. I got a guy to yell at me to teach me how to do gain staging. I learned how to do mastering better. Oh, I developed some costumes to put on the characters because the video thing was too much, you know, or the digital thing was too much, and I came up with this, and I did that, and I did this. And he can say, that's all right. I can do something with that. I took it as far as I could, and then I stretched a little bit more. That's the Lord's gift. He gave it to me that way. If you want me to use it, he'll open the door. Really? Really? That's your logic? You think that's Christian sound believing? No, it's demonic. It's demonic. And here's how he responds to, I gave you back what you gave me. Let's get to the scripture. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, twisted, evil, lazy. So he got a problem with lazy. Oh, we're gonna skip over that like we didn't see that, okay? He got a problem with wicked, lazy people. Jesus don't like wicked, and he don't like lazy. So you knew that I would harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed, huh? That's what you believe, huh? Is that so? That's what you really believe, huh? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return at least I would have had some interest. Might have only been 3%, but at least you did something. You know what he's saying? I respect people who get a return on what I give them, even if it's small. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. He got 10 now. He had 5, now he got 10, now he got 11. I can multiply and do some numbers. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have a little bit more. Did you see it? Did you see it? Again, the point keeps coming down to abundance. Come and share my happiness. He ain't even thinking about the little bags right now. He said, take the one who had 5, that got 10, that had 5, now he got 10, give him one more, and now he got 11. And he's going to be abundant, so he don't even need to spend what's in them bags. Notice he didn't take the bags back. He gave them back to him. So it sounded to me he was given the opportunity to do something, and he didn't even want the bags back. He wanted them to share in his happiness and live in his abundance. And so the test was not so that he can get something back from you. The test was he can prove that you're faithful and worthy, that he can trust you with his abundance. For whoever has will be given more. And he who has not, I mean, I'm doing the song now. Them shall not, he who has shall get, he don't not shall lose, right? And it's so funny because there's a Billie Holiday record that says that, but Ray Charles has, if them who that will get, then how are them who have not supposed to get, I ain't got nothing yet. That's an old Ray Charles record. Now, I didn't know that was scriptural, and when I read it later, I was like, that's a good question. If them who got shall get, then how is them who have not supposed to get? And I ain't got nothing yet. It's, yeah, this is, that stuck to me as a kid. I was like, that makes sense. If you don't have nothing, how are you supposed to get it? But here's what I found out after I read the whole scripture, because them who got were given something by the master, by entrusted to them to get. He never asked you to get from nothing. He always entrusts you with something to use to get. Everybody in this room has what the scripture says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everybody in here has opportunity. There's no such thing, a person with no opportunity. I don't care. Well, what about people in starving countries? Look, can you pull some coconuts out of a tree? All right, then you can sell those. There's always something, or barter, or do whatever you need to do. There's people everywhere finding trades and ways to eat in countries that you think are starving, living better than us. I don't mean technology-wise. I mean survival-wise. Living good, thriving off the land that they have, and trading with this person, this for that, and give you some of my fruit for some of your clothes, and doing just fine. We call them poor because we have a standard of e-commerce here that we figure wealth is an abundance of money. But listen, $10 billion, you can't spend it. And Bill Gates said, whether you have $1 billion or $100, a burger is still a burger. He poops it out just like you. Use the same kind of toilet paper you probably use. He don't have no special kind. This is my point. Watch this. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. That doesn't mean what you don't have will nothing be taken. He means when I give you something and you have nothing for me, when I return. For whoever does not have even what they have, even what I gave them will be taken. The gift I gave them will become useless. Nobody will want it. He won't take the gift back, but the anointing for that gift to prosper you will die. It will go dormant. And throw that worthless, he just keep calling the man names. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's heavy, because the few times I see weeping and gnashing the teeth, that's talking about hell. So this is definitely a spiritual analogy. You don't want to do more with it? You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. But don't be upset if what you have goes dormant. The beautiful thing about it, if you get back amongst the money changers and start to put it to work, he'll pick you right back up and bless your gift again. It's never too late. It's never too. That's the thing about grace. They didn't have that back then like that, what we do. That's the thing about grace. And you've heard me say this in times past. If you get back on track, God will pick you up like you never missed a step and put you right back in the game. So all you got to do is say, God, I've been unfaithful with the gift you've given me. I've hid it in the ground. I haven't done anything with it. And you even came back a couple of times. I didn't have it. But you know what? You didn't take it back. You give me an opportunity. The gifts and callings of God are without turn or shadow of repentance, the book of James chapter 1 says. He doesn't give you a good thing and take it back. You have the opportunity now to go back to the money changers and say, let's try this again. Let's do something with this gift. The gift of God is powerful. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I'm going to share with you the word God gave me. This is really powerful. You know, keep it going. Keep it going. I told you this word. I'm going to share this word. I want you all to be in on it. And how many of you are blessed? Give God a praise clap if you have. We serve an awesome God. Perfect timing. I got this word from God on Friday. I've given you a chance to start over. And I said, what do I do? And God, in his response to me, was like he was talking to me, but he was talking to everybody. God has something really big for you, and you will know it and find it. Now it's time for us to practice what we have learned. I know what I needed to find on April 7th, 2020. I just needed to know how and where. A year later, I'm back on the painful but exciting path to find where I belong in my life. Taxes paid, new home, new chance. Nervous? Yes, but ready. People with me have to know like I know, yada, for sure. Not sure? Not your time. I'm going to read that again. Not sure? Not your time. You hide it in a hole in the ground? Not your time. Pray for me, I'm praying for you to find your place and prosperous purpose. Pray for me, I'm praying for you to find your place and prosperous purpose in life. I release everyone to their destiny. I have to set free to be free. If I'm holding on to anything, I can't be truly free.